Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, however you're listening to this. Welcome, everybody. Oh, man. There we go. Camera's lagging a little bit. Welcome to, I think, probably my last live stream of the year. This is going to be a good one. I'm excited for today's guests to be back on. It's almost been 100 episodes since one of the guests was on, and then probably about 10 episodes since the other one was on. But yeah, Merry Christmas. If anybody missed the live stream a couple days ago, we are going into the new year. This is a little bit of a rough year, but we'll talk about it. You know, everything's good. Can't complain. Life is well. And we're going to rock and roll into 2025 with the least the highest hopes, highest expectations, whatever. But before we kind of get into today's show, I have a new link for Tiger Fitness down below. And now instead of hitting the link to get the discount, you use my code Kyle at checkout or go to tigerfitness.com/KyleM. To get to give me credit for your sales if you're trying to get supplements to be all jacked and tan. So all that good stuff is down below. As usual, Fox and Sons coffee. I just ground up a whole ton more this morning while listening to the Rule Zero year-end extravaganza, and I apologize. I would love to make it, but I just was busy yesterday. So that's that. Make sure you go listen to that show, and that was on one of today's guests' channels and deemed fit through the link below. So, yeah, this could be the last Sunday coffee of the year. And, I got one more podcast. No, one more scheduled. Yeah. For the second, but you guys ain't here to hear me talk about that. So without further ado, let's rock and roll. And welcoming back Nuclear Hilio and Jack Napier, that dude from Deutschland. What's up, gentlemen?
What's going on?
Doing well, recovering from yesterday. It's been a lazy Sunday. Glad you'd have me on.
Yeah, man. No, I agree. I woke up about an hour late, normally 4:30 every morning, but yeah, this morning I slept in a little bit, and I'm like, okay, I got to hurry up, eat, and then head to the gym and rock and roll. I tried for 500 pounds, but man, I'll tell you what, some days are hit or miss for me, but the deadlift felt a little bit rough, but the squats and the bench press felt really good.
You still do flat bench. I stopped doing flat bench and traded it in for only incline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I only do flat bench on Sundays. So, like, you know, today's my powerlifting day. So if I would have had a little bit more time, I still would have did my pull-ups and overhead press. But I decided I just kind of wanted to rush through because I could tell, like I said, my deadlift wasn't feeling that good. So I did bench 295 this morning for the first time in quite a while. So, nice. Yeah.
How's your working out going anyway, Nuke? How's your shoulder?
I started doing dead hangs. Mm. Yeah, apparently I did some research, and apparently dead hangs are like awesome for shoulder impingement and all that, and also it decompresses your spine. Like, I don't know why it took me so long to get on the dead hang bandwagon, but feels good. It's not recovering as fast as I would, but I definitely feel like something is happening here because you do a dead hang and it just feels like there's like nice numbness afterwards on your shoulder, right? But then the pain comes back. It's just like maybe 0.5% less. So I don't know how long it's going to take. But I'm really fighting not going to a doctor. But I don't know. We'll see.
I've only heard good things about hanging. And I know, at least from my personal experience, that when I hang a lot, my shoulders feel leaps and bounds better. So, yeah, I mean, if it's not happening quite as fast as you like, I'd think just, you know, maybe crank up the volume on it. Do you do, like, how long do you do every day?
I do as much as I can. So right now I'm like between 20 and 30 seconds up to where I go. I'm not using any chalk or grip. And the bar I'm using is like a slippery metal one. And I do the relaxed dead hang, you know, because there's two types. There's like the one where you're like creating tension in your shoulders. There's the one where you're just hanging, like a character from a video game. You're just hanging, waiting for the character to do the next thing. So I just do that, and then I rest, and I do it, and I keep doing it until, like, you know, it's my finisher for every gym workout. I just do it And see what happens. We'll see.
Yeah, like I said, I know that that definitely helped my shoulders. My shoulder could be a little bit effy sometimes. Like if I'm doing overhead press, sometimes my, I think it's my right shoulder cracks. Like I've been getting a little bit of pain in this shoulder, but I've also been torquing wheels now for a while where I used to use my gun just to run them on. But now, you know, obviously I'm always hanging on a ratchet and pushing on it to get
great for triceps.
Yeah. But like just the angle, sometimes if I don't have my shoulder perfectly, sometimes my shoulder feels a little bit bothered. So just from the increased work capacity of the shoulder, I always got to kind of watch.
Three over 30-year-old men sitting at the bar. Oh, your shoulder, man. I don't know. It's something that feels weird. Gets kind of twitchy there.
Yeah, dude. I'll tell you what, ever since I started shaving my head, the age stuff is really starting to come at me. Hey, look who showed up. Good to see you, Dave. Hope you're doing well, buddy.
Oh, man, I still, like, I know stretching. I mean, Kyle, you can probably correct me on this one. A lot of people swear by stretching. Like, stretching is the golden ticket to never having an injury. But I swear to God, I never stretch.
Same. Never. Never.
I warm up with the bar. That's
it. Well, yeah, so, like, for deadlift, I'll put a plate on each side and usually do, like, 3 reps. And then I'll do that until I get to, like, 400 pounds. And then once I get to 400 pounds, then I'll, you know, do the volume or whatever I'm feeling like doing. So like this morning I did 2 sets of 400 by 3, and then I went to 455, did 2 reps, tried for 500. It didn't feel right. So I was just going to stop deadlifting, but then I went back down to 400 and, I think I did another set of 3 and then just called it there and then went to my, benching and, my squatting.
I think I'm gonna like for, how many days we got left till New Year's? Two, three. I think I'm just going to binge because I didn't on Christmas. I'm just going to binge, and then January 2nd, it's going to be like, okay, we're going to cut. We're going to cut. We're taking out half the rice a day. We're taking out maybe a little bit of the spinach, and then we'll just cut till summer, and we'll see what happens. I've been getting approached in the gym. Girls are hitting me up.
Fuck yeah.
Well, yes and no. It has its pluses and minuses. Mm. Very hot chick, and we get talking. Turns out she gave birth 4 months ago.
Oh,
no, but you wouldn't tell. She looked hot. I'm like, okay, yeah. I like where this is going. Mm. And then she's like, oh yeah, I just gave birth 4 months ago. It's like,
yeah, I remember when I was single and looking. The single moms always put like triple the effort in because they realize that like as soon as you find out that it's like hit or miss, like a lot of dudes are so thirsty that they'll be like, oh no, I don't care, I'll do whatever. But though some are like, yeah, no, like that is not my problem. Like for me, that was always kind of the situation. It's like, no, not my problem.
And the milfs are coming after me. They're coming after me. It's insane. But how were your guys' Christmas anyway?
Yeah, no.
Oh, starting with me. Yeah, it was all right. I got a projector for my room. It's huge. Like the screen is huge, and it has I have YouTube and Amazon Prime Video on it.
Ooh!
So I can like watch myself yap on a giant 80 inches. You know, I can see all my blemishes and stuff.
But do you watch your own videos at night? Like.
No. I watch it the day. I sometimes watch my videos to get tweets from them. If I'm like, can't come up with a tweet. But most of the time I just have like some lofi in the background playing just so I can like chill, relax.
The projectors are great for gaming. Like I keep saying 100-inch TV, but a projector, it's way cheaper than a TV and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you just got to have a nice white wall or thing.
Fortunately, yeah, my good sir, I have.
That one's mixed race wall. I'm talking about Caucasian Aryan wall. You know, no blemishes, no holes in the wall. Nothing. It has to be pure. Yeah.
I can paint it. I can make it work. It
has to be Austrian painter approved. You know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, right now my complexion's a little bit lighter than I would like. Like you can't tell. The longer I go without being in Florida in warm weather, I start to my Polish roots come out. But though Italian roots come out in the summertime or whenever I go down to Florida. That's when I get real dark. But
Kyle has to go back. He has to go back.
I do. But it's funny. My wife, I was talking to one of my podcast co-hosts for Five Till Midnight, and he's a anthropologist. And I was asking him, like, okay, well, what the hell is like my wife's nationality? Because she doesn't know. I don't know. And not that I like give a shit, but we start digging into it, and she's like South German. I'm like, okay, so my wife has dirty blonde hair and blue eyes, and she burns very easily. So like, I'm almost there. Like, I'm Polish, but she's South German. So
sehr gut. Sehr gut mix. Exactly. Yeah, the fellow shall be pleased. Let's not go there, by the way. Yeah, what is happening with America, you two? Like, I see a lot of things on like everybody's turning against Elon now, and I don't get it.
Year of the rug pull. I said it. That was my biggest prediction on Rule Zero, is that it's going to be the year of the rug pull, right? Guys, like, they just don't learn their lesson. Like, Hawk Tua, politicians, CEOs, women, it's just like we've become naive again. Like, the cynicism, like, people confuse cynicism with, like, nihilism. For example, if I say, hey, you know, I'm glad that Trump's in office, but, you know, people are incentivized. People are going to do what's best for them and their company. And they're like, dude, you're a doomer. And then I'm like, okay, okay. And then they do exactly what they're incentivized to do. And they're just like the Pikachu meme. Like, what do you mean the CEO is trying to go to Mars? Like, he's saying literally every day on the timeline his main goal is. And I'm like, dude, it's not that you got rug pulled, it's just that you don't understand human incentives. Like, people think that people just do things out of the goodness of their heart. No, that's maybe your mom will, your brother, your best friend, but not the country. Come on, guys. Come on.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are kind of there we go. Axon gave his thoughts. a lot of people, I saw this leading up to the election of Trump, and I'm able to kind of keep my feet on the ground as somebody who's able to equally criticize both sides. So many people are like, oh my God, the PayPal mafia, we're going to save America. We're taking America back. Everything's going to be great. The economy's going to be booming, all this stuff. And I'm like, you guys are you're losing your ground in here. You think the world's going to be completely different after this stuff. But like you said, people have incentives. And then people also have their own personal beliefs where, like, I think everybody saw how bad the last 4 years were and forgot that, like, regardless of the fact that, like, I would have preferred Trump to have won in 2020, he didn't. And that he's still not some right-wing nationalist hero. He's still kind of like a center-left kind of guy.
90s and like a Democrat.
Exactly. So, like, the mass deportations, it sounded good. Probably not going to happen. The inflation, Trump's not an economic genius. He's still a 90s Democrat, so he still likes to spend. The inflation's not going to get reined in. Elon and then the PayPal mafia guys are, you know, real big fans of tech. And what does tech involve a lot of? A lot of the Indians coming in for that kind of stuff. So Elon being a big contributor to Trump's campaign, probably going to distort that a little bit. And then, you know, the MAGA coalition was such a broad umbrella that it really lost focus of what it was versus like 2016, where it was a real concentrated thing. Everybody wants their piece of the pie in the situation. And now we're seeing that Elon's coming for his piece of the pie where, like, hey, no, I gave all this money. This is what I want. And, you know, we'll go to war if necessary. To me, it wasn't surprising for the people who thought that they were going to get, you know, the Fourth Reich or whatever from Trump. I think now they're getting kind of taken down a peg, which I don't want to see because I agree with these people for the most part. But I think their expectations were up here when really your expectations had to be down here.
Yeah, like, I mean, once JD Vance, Vance is married to an Indian girl, right?
Exactly. It's like these people, like,
what did you guys expect?
Yeah, like people are like, oh, we're gonna eat the Pajits, and you know, oh, they're all going back, and it's like, nah, dude, this was never on the table. I understand getting your hopes up, and I understand using hyperbole, but you gotta expect what's in reality. And you know, once again, if you understand who Trump is, and you're not projecting all your hopes and dreams onto him and his campaign, and believing a campaigning politician's promises, you're gonna get a more accurate picture of what's going to happen. So pretty much, set your expectations through the floor so that way if they step over a curb, you're pleasantly surprised, which is where I'm at. I think things are probably still going to maintain and get slightly worse. I don't think all his promises are going to come true. In fact, I think none of them are going to come true. They said he got elected with a mandate, rein in inflation, end the wars, and deportations. None of those are going to happen, in my opinion. So if one of them does happen, hey, cool. But if none of them happen, well, that's kind of what we expected. So, you know, Jack, I remember, I think it was the first time you were on my show, you said the stay plan is the same as a go plan. And that's kind of always been my motto, is like, okay, well, 2024 was a rough year for me. I mean, I interviewed Ron Paul, which was fucking awesome. And the show grew a decent bit. You know, I had some personal stuff in my life, you know, totaling my car. The dog fucked up his paw early on in the year. And just, you know, the year was kind of rough. Definitely wasn't my best year. It was my best year financially, but like just personally, there was some shit that happened. But, you know, I got through it. You don't have a choice. So this coming year is definitely going to be a way better year. And I think it's not because of politicians or politics or anything like that. I'm going to make this coming year much better than every year before it.
You know that feeling of you went through hell and you came out of it, and now you're like, oh yeah, now nothing can stop me. Now I'm prepared. And that's kind of the high I'm riding on, where it's like, oh no, I've seen some shit. I'm done with this shit. We're plowing through. And I'm kind of like, okay, this will either work out perfectly and I will end up on top, or I will get hit by such a blow that I have never dared to expect. But I'm very positive. So far, 2024, man, the latter half of 2024 was good. 955 on Substack.
Hell yeah, man. Within
9 months.
Wow.
That's good.
That's averaging about like 105 a month.
Yeah. Like I barely made it, just not made it to 1,000 by the end of the year. But I mean, things are going well. The gym job, everything, and the whole Trump thing. I mean, I'm just looking at the numbers on the chart, where it's like, I want to see the stocks go up. That's all I want to see. A lot of people want to see that. Like, I don't care about like the whole, well, I kind of care about the American immigration stuff, because Europe always follows America. Like what Ryan says about Canada holds true for Europe as well.
Yeah.
Like all eyes are always on America.
All right. Let's remove our egos from this for 1 second. Right. Here's how I see it. Right. Let's think strategically like a smart politician, right? Because that's what Elon failed to do. Let's be smart here. 200, he said he wanted like what, 300,000 more people to be part of tech in order for us to be okay. He's a smart guy. He's probably looking at it from a strategic point. If he would have just shut his mouth, right, and said, hey, let's wait until we deport 20 million people to drop this bombshell. Let's wait until we do a little bit of work. And then he would have been like, after we, the media storm and everything, we see these caravans of immigrants go back over the border. And everyone, you know, America's like, our, you know, our hopes are high. Things are, you know, the morale is higher. Then he could have just slipped in, hey guys, by the way, I know that this is going to suck, but we need to bring more people for the tech, to fill the tech quotas for these companies to be competitive in the world. How would it be different? You see what I'm saying? I don't think it's a policy thing. I think it's we got told something out of order.
It's a priority. Yeah. It seems like a prioritization issue, where like basically he should have said, hey, we could use more high skilled labor, which I would debate that merit, but you know, reasonable people here can disagree, right? He should have said, like you said, hey, we're going to get rid of all these people who are here that are putting a strain on public resources. Because that's really what people are mainly concerned about.
That stuff. The people that make life suck more in America, right?
Exactly.
And do that, get the job done, wait a year, and then a year in, be like, hey, guys, we're doing some good work here. We've cut government spending a little bit. Hey, by the way, we need to bring a couple of these guys in. People would bitch and then moan, but they'd be like, man, but shit, they're like, you know, they're deporting a lot of people. Like, this is actually right.
They would have more capital with their people instead of like running against what was originally campaigned upon. Like, that's kind of like when I talk to people about spreading libertarian values or whatever, is that like you want to have some kind of relationship capital with people, right? Where like Elon and Vivek, I feel like, do have some capital in this stake, because like they've put their neck out to support Trump.
They're successful, they're smart. Like, we cannot deny they're smart businessmen, right? They know what they're doing. The problem is that They're not politicians. And that's what we have to understand, guys. Trump is a smooth talker. I like hearing Trump talk because he's charming. He's a likable dude.
He's a good even politician. If you don't agree.
Yeah, he watching a speech, it's almost like poetry. Like, remember the windmill speech where he's saying, like, you know, they used to say birds were like dinosaurs, you know, and all this like funny stuff and everyone's laughing. People want to be charmed. We want to be manipulated. We just want to be manipulated in the way we enjoy. And the same thing applies from like game and women to like politics. Mm-hmm. If I'm a white guy, I can't relate, right? But if I were a white guy like you, Kyle, and you know, I don't know your experience personally,
Jack
right?
Black or something?
What am I? Chopped liver?
Yeah, lesser white.
I gotta look at the you know, the genealogy chart or whatever, yeah. Right? But if you were an American white guy, not a commie Dutch guy, right? Right. I can't relate to that much. I can a little bit because, you know, I've been in this country since I was born here, right? Yeah. But I will say this. I want to be spoken to in a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. By the president. I want the president to be funny. I want the president to, like, mess with the right people. I want the president to make fun of Rosie O'Donnell and Biden and Kamala and make funny names. Like, that's fun and exciting. It gives you something fun to look forward to because this guy's hilarious, right? People yeah. don't underestimate how much it's not Trump's policy. It's just who he is. He's hilarious. It's the most, yeah. it was the most funny presidency of all time. Right. And now we have these guys that are also, you know, part of his group of people that are going to change America. Right. But they're not charming. They don't know that you cannot expect an Indian CEO and a South African immigrant CEO, which are very hyper successful, hyper talented and intelligent, to be charming, tell you what you want to hear. Only Trump can do that. And that's literally his job, to charm the American people into giving them hope. And that he's doing a great job of that. But you cannot expect that from Elon. He's going to say derpy things. He literally crashed out, right? He's a derp. He's a derpy guy, right?
He is, and the high, thing is high, a high-functioning autistic or something, right?
Probably, right? I don't know. But the thing is, if he needs to have these kind of advisors, some like a Steve Bannon kind of type of dude, tell him, like, hey, dude, don't fucking tweet that shit. It's not time. Like that. Yeah. You will, like, you idiot. Don't tweet that. Right. Don't tweet that. That's Trump's job. Trump can sell H-1B to people. Mm. You can. Right. Because you're an immigrant as well. And you just became Republican like 6 months ago. Right. So hold yeah. on. That's pretty strategic. People are simple. Let's do a little bit of work. And then when the work's a little bit done and people are finally believing that you ain't full of shit, then drop the bomb, right? And it works in every part of human relationships is that, hey, you're even your girl, the way your girl manipulates you, she'll like give you a blowjob before saying, hey, I spent all this money on curtains, sorry. What if she said spent the money on curtains first or one bullshit stuff, and then she's like, hey, can I give you a blowjob? You'd be like, fuck no. You. Like, I'm pissed off. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Post not clarity.
Yeah, exactly. We need as humans to accept our humanity and be like, hey, it wasn't the H-1B that got to us. It was the timing. You said it at the wrong time. We wanted the blowjob first and then the bad news. Not the bad news and then the offer for a blowjob. That's, you know, it. That's how simple it is.
I mean, so many women do that. Like, they demand and demand and demand. And then it's like, oh, can we have sex? It's like, you have been demanding all day. You have been a pain in my ass all day. And now you're like, I want sex. It's like, next time you fuck my brains out in the morning and then you be a bitch. Perfect. But no, you just had to be a bitch first and then beg for sex when I'm tired and I'm drained and I don't feel like even wanting to look at you. It's like, no, go away. Like, make it like Nuke said, manipulate us in the way we like to be manipulated. I've been listening a lot of Patrice O'Neill now lately. My God, that man got it right. We like you. We want. We can't love you. As soon as we love you, it's over. And it's true. That's true.
Yeah, like there's got to be some kind of give and take there. And, you know, it's like I said, I've been looking at this whole situation. I'm like, okay, well, everybody wants their piece of the pie. So how are they going to move about this? Because Trump is kind of an empty suit. I mean, he's not very stuck in his ways in a lot of respects. As in, like, he could be pushed around pretty easily. But he's also a really good talker, like Nuke said, where, like, you know, he could sell anything to his base because his base is so fanatical about him. The problem is that, you know, you have someone with such a presence and such a microphone, like the PayPal Mafia guys, Vivek and Elon, that, you know, knowing that they're a major player here, they could really shake things up by saying one thing or another. And basically, you know, now the media over the last week was like, oh, Elon's the president. And it's like, well, yes, to some degree, but also, you know, there's, I can't remember the one fucking banker dude's name, but he gave like $200 million. Miriam Adelson, who's basically the Israeli, you know, string puller for Trump, gave him $100 million. So like, there's a lot of players here. And my preference has always been the Elon kind of guys getting to have their say, because it's like, okay, well, these guys at least kind of look at things from a business perspective and think, okay, well, however we can get the bureaucracy out of our way is a good thing, but there's going to be a cost with that. And I think a lot of people aren't able to accept the cost. Like the people who like Trump are only going to see what they want to see. They're only going to see the good things. And like, yeah, you know, things are great if you just don't look at the downsides. But when you look at the positives and the negatives, then it's like, okay, well, how are you weighing this out? What's your most important issue? Like for Hawk, his most important issue is immigration. So he's seeing the PayPal Mafia guys talk about immigration in a way that's unfavorable to him. So rightfully, I'm glad that they're going to war and saying like, no, 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 this isn't what we voted for. But, you know, me as somebody who didn't vote at all, I'm looking at this. I'm like, oh, well, this kind of makes sense. Is that, you know, everybody wants their piece of the pie and you're going to get that for better or for worse. And, you know, if you want to raise hell about it, raise hell about it. I mean, I'll raise hell no matter what, just because that's the way I look at it. Hey, Dickie, drinking Jack and watching Mass on the airport TV. Good to see you, man. None of them really embody the
10 a.m. in the morning in the States.
Yeah, what's the problem? Yeah. I drink Jack in the Well, you're supposed to drink Jack early in the morning at the airport.
Yeah, Dickie, where are you right now? He's I think he's in a certain thing in the military. I think he's headed back home though. So Dickie, what first drink in 3 months? Okay, yeah, where are you at right now? I think you're somewhere south. You might be closer to Nuke. Nuke's in Texas somewhere and Chicago. Oh boy. So yeah, it is.
I understand the drink.
Yeah. So do I. I was there last week. I was there over the weekend. Or over Christmas. It's a crazy airport, trust me.
Yeah, you know, the worst airport I've probably been to was probably the Charlotte airport when you have to be across it. Nuke, you've probably been there before, but like the Charlotte airport, if you have to walk across that, it's like, fuck you. Like, I think my wife and I had a layover once. It was like a half hour layover and we had to make it from
you the were side of Britain.
Oh, dude, you were like flying.
Atlanta, you have to like push old ladies out the way to get on the train to make sure you make it.
Shoving. Listen, it depends on what kind of old lady they are. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, they're probably not small white ladies. They're probably big, fat, old black ladies.
Yeah.
You don't want to shove them around.
You have to become Daniel Penny on the train to get anywhere. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. My bad, guys. I'm
the Hagrid meme. I shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys, though.
Yeah.
We see a lot of complaining on the timeline for what just happened over the visas thing, right? Yeah. And a lot of guys, you know, here in the red pill land, we don't like complaining. You know, we say, hey, you know, it's great to have an opinion. That's what you're supposed to. You're an American. You're supposed to be outspoken. That's what makes us American. But at the same time, what's your plan, right? Like you have to.
I complain really about being on the DHS list all the time.
Yeah. But here you have to have like a plan. Like for us, it's like, yeah, great. But in your own life, make sure that you have something you're doing or else it's whining. Do you guys believe that the internet coming together to complain about a policy like this sets a bad precedent in that now the go-to for any for people trying to achieve happiness and togetherness in this country is whining? Do you guys think that's a good precedent?
No.
Like, hey, if we all get together and whine and sacrifice our Twitter accounts and bitch and make CEOs crash out just for them to make the decision anyway, do you think that's a good precedent or bad?
That's bad on all sides. Like you mentioned in the beginning, Nuke, like, yes, they could have planned this better. Trump could have presented it way easier, way better, where if like deport 20 million first and then be like, you know what, top 1.1% or something will want those because they're good performers. But now nobody can accept what's happening. They can't change it either. Best course of action could have been, look at what's happening and how does this affect you? Because have they now stated, oh, we're not going to do mass deportations anymore? I don't think they have. Like I said, I'm not as well read on this. That's why I asked you guys in the beginning. But I don't believe the plans of deportation have changed. There have just been changes of plans of importation, which is still way lower than what the original during Biden was.
Right. And I'm kind of two minds. Like, I like to see people.
Good question. Yeah, it's a strong word.
Yeah, well, like, I like seeing people at least go against their own side, because I think what happened leading up to the election of Trump was everybody huffing their own farts and thinking about how just only looking at the good side and not like considering the full spectrum. Like I said, I've seen people saying, oh my God, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. Ron Paul's going to be brought in. And like, people are just completely out in fantasy land from and completely detaching from what the original Trump administration was like. And the reason why I don't like go, you know, piss on the Democrats 24/7 is because like the people who are listening to me, I respect them enough to know that like, I don't need to tell you that a man dressed as a woman saying that they're a woman is not a woman. Like I respect you guys enough to know that the Democrats are full of shit and don't have your best interest in heart. So I'm not going to entertain that conversation. We can talk about that. I agree. Whatever. That you're not here to just in group signal. Like, I'm not here to fucking jack all you off and tell you how great we are as right wingers and this and that. That's not my game. That's never been my game. My purpose here in this respect, and I'll kind of answer the question here in a second, but like, is to inform people and to set expectations to a realistic level and inform people so that way they can decide what they want to do next. So when I see people kind of going to war over this issue, I'm like, okay, people are paying attention and people are willing to go to bat against their own, to embolden their own position, like to hold people to account. That being said, if your version of being, you know, at least trying to make air your grievances is being as racist as possible and getting thrown off of platforms, I don't think that's productive, right? If you're having a conversation about like, oh, no, like, I think this is what the most productive policy is going forward, and let's have a conversation about that, I think that's reasonable, where you're like, okay, no. Like, we don't want to import any more people because like, currently our country, our infrastructure is falling apart. So I think instead of importing more people, we should figure out for our own first and then have the immigration conversation, kind of like what we've been saying would have been like a better idea. I think that's productive. But if it's just going to be, if we're just going to meme people to death and hurt people's feelings and get thrown off the platform, I'm all for having a good time and having a good laugh, but like, to what end? If your end is, hey, we're going to move the conversation Overton window more towards something that we would like to see done, okay. But if it's just, we're going to shit post and get thrown off the platform, you lose your right to bitch. Jack and I were kind of talking about this a little bit this morning. We're like, I had every opportunity to go on the internet and bitch that I was canceled because I didn't get the job to be an instructor about like a year and a half ago, right? I could have went on the internet and said I was canceled for my views. I'm a right-leaning libertarian, and now, you know,
could have had a pension.
Could have had a pension, but I decided to be a retard on the internet. Why? To what end? I'm going to get a few more clicks, and then I'm going to welcome an audience that's full of people that don't know the work that I do or the stuff or that care. I talk about. Yeah, or care.
Right. You're just looking for daddy.
Yeah, I don't want people who are going to just fucking dumb up my comments and be surprised when I say something that offends them. I want people who are here to listen to my content and listen to the work that I'm doing and have a conversation about stuff that matters to me and know me for me, not for being the canceled guy who's looking to get clout. So yeah. If it's productive and, you know, Elon and the administration are responding in a favorable way because they realize that like their stated policy isn't in line with what people want and why, you know, they were supported. Okay. But like I said, if it's just a meme and get thrown off the platform and make a bunch of noise, I think you're not doing yourself any favors. Kind of like if you're anonymous to just say shit that you wouldn't say because you're too much of a pussy to be confronted with consequences, okay. But if you're anonymous because you realize, like, hey, you know, my opinions can cost me something, then okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's two different mindsets there. And one mindset I'm in favor of, and one that I'm not in favor of. And you can say that's semantic, but that's just kind of the way that I look at it. So I know it's a long tangent, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just believe that whining, setting a precedent, like I see a lot, especially the younger guys, they're like, bullying works. I'm like, it's an abstraction, right? Because the decision has already been made, right? It's already been made. They're not going to look at the internet. That's not how, like, you guys ever play a video game where everyone bitches about the video game being, you know, crappy, and they don't change it, and they still go on to make the second video game, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that they're the ones, they're the target audience, and their voice is important because they have this, like, parasocial, almost like covert contract. Like, this is my president and they care about me. And they do to an extent, right? I don't think it's fair to say that Trump doesn't care. I think genuinely he cares, but everyone cares at a different level, and they may not care as much as you, right? And the thing is, we cannot go from a country that, where we're at now, spiritually, I guess, and like racially, to being 100% white nationalists, right? That's too big of a jump. If you want that to happen, it's going to take a long time, right? You can't do that, right? Because there's a lot of good people that are brown and black that do a lot of good work. And there's a lot of shitty people that are black and brown and not white that, you know, are screwing up this country. But for the most part, I look at it like this. Remember, you guys remember the Patriot Act?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know what that is.
The Patriot Act, where they green-lighted the government to, like, perform surveillance on us. And the only reason they were able to sell that is because of 9/11, mm-hmm. right? This situation is like trying to sell the Patriot Act before 9/11, right? Mm. So basically, we all think we're just like some 4D chess playing smart Groiper fucking America First Trump things that we know so much, right? But what I see is just a bunch of egotistical people who think they're smarter than they are, saying that, hey, we were betrayed. I knew that, I saw this coming all along, while I know you didn't. The thing is, you didn't see how little they were going to sell it to you. That's what you didn't like. You did. It was not sold to you. You wanted it to be sold to you. It's like you're on a date with a girl and you're explaining to her how game works or how the red pill works. She's going to get mad, right? But if you charm her, and then at the end, after you, you know, have sex with her, you say, hey, you know, and she sees the red book on your, and looks at it, it's just like, is this one of your game books, player books? And you're just like, oh yeah, yeah. And she's just going to giggle and be like, you're so weird, right? And then move on, right? Whereas if you explain it to her on the first date, she's going to be like, oh, this guy's weird and creepy. And she's going to, you know, and that's, we're simple. We're simpler than we think. And yes, we want perfect outcomes. Like, we're humans. We want to optimize the best. We want the best for ourselves and our country. But the thing is, they just try to sell the Patriot Act before 9/11. 9/11, this is going to sound fucked up, but let the bad event or good event happen that will excuse the second thing, right?
Yeah.
If a girl knows she fucked up, she's going to give you an amazing blowjob first, right? She's going to do something really nice, that even to the point where you're just like, something's not right. Even your even kids, right? Like, they'll, like, when I was a kid and I knew I fucked up, I would, you know, clean the kitchen, compliment my mom, and then my dad would be the one and be like, what do you want? What did you do? You know? And that's the thing. Like, we want to get gamed. We want to be charmed, you know? A lot of us would be okay as long as we saw those busloads of people getting removed from the country. And then they said, hey, we want to bring some guys from India in. We'll be annoyed. We'll be like, fuck, man. I mean, we got to take what we can get. Let's do it. Fuck it. And that's it. And that's, we're simple. We're not super smart. We're not complicated. We're just simple humans with simple reactions to things. And we got to stop acting like we're some, these pseudo super intellectual guys that figured it out and we're 4D chessing it. I'm like, no, you're just a human. just like me and you.
But how dare we ask that from politicians, I guess.
Yeah.
Or, well, like you mentioned before, Elon really isn't a politician. He's a more of a businessman, even more than Trump is. Trump has the...
He's a coder. Let's just pretend.
He's an IT guy.
Yeah, he's an IT guy, right? And he likes to code. And that's what you are. And just like I'm weird. I'm a nuke. I'm a weird guy. I work long hours and I bitch. And then I run reactors and I'm weird. And we're weird people. And that's what I like. There's always going to be a component of me that I am like that. And that's okay. I like that that happens, because then it's like part of my life journey. And the thing is, guys got to grow up and just realize the humanity in all this. We're a human. You just got rug pulled. You're mad because you got rug pulled. That's it. Someone tried to sell you the Patriot Act before the 9/11. That's all it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's
to go to IKEA before the blowjob.
Yeah, I mean, it's about managing expectations. And, you know, I think a lot, like I said, I think a lot of people kind of set their expectations up here and just, you know, you got to kind of accept that things are going to happen that are just out of your control. Let me breeze through some of these. Mono Mutant came in at the right time. Good to see you. King Trust Issues, good to see you. X-Runner, you're giving me horrible flashbacks to 702 training. Ray, good morning. Yeah, I mean, regardless, like I think I kind of pointed out earlier, the stay plan is the same as the go plan. Like, as a guy in this kind of situation, if you were outsourcing all of your expectations and like your improvements, like what you thought was going to happen, to some politician, you already set your standard. You already set your vision completely wrong. And I think that's what a lot of people did. And it's like, nah, man, you gotta keep doing for you, because regardless of who's in the White House, Biden ain't going to make you great again. Trump isn't going to do it for you. You're the only one that can do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's we're all wounded by the last administration, right? My steaks got really expensive.
Oh man, I just did groceries today. It hurt so much.
Yeah, and you know, we're all hurt, right? But at the same time, let's be smart. Let's be intelligent, and let's recognize our own humanity. And instead of, you know, getting canceled on the internet because the king of Twitter is having a crash out, let's just be silent and learn how to navigate this, say our piece, and do the best we can. Trade notes. There's guys that made it, right? Like, I traded notes on the timeline. Instead of bitching, I was like, hey, guys, military will give you a leg up if you're going into tech, right? Veterans are more valued than you think. They pay for your school. And if you're a nuke, you got a lifelong community that you will never have to worry about being hired, right? I said my piece. I said, hey, guy, I know it sucks. Like, I know it sucks. Every guy, especially if you're a white guy, has had to deal with this, whether HR or, you know, waking up to see a text, hey, $40 billion to Ukraine, but, you know, stakes are double what they were a year ago. You're just like, what the fuck? But at the same time, what's your plan? What are we going to do? What can we do? And the thing is, you have the internet, you have the Library of Alexandria in your pocket. It's not going to be perfect, but what's your plan? And do you care that much, right? Do you honestly care? If you had a blowjob from a hot 8 out of 10 blonde chick right now,
keep going.
I'm almost there. Keep going. would you go on Twitter right after and be like, I'm losing hope in this country? No, you'd be like, things are bad, but you know, what you gonna do? You know, you just gotta move on, and you know, and that's recognizing your own humanity. Like, even me, if things were bad, right? And then somehow Dogecoin fucking went to the moon. I'd be like, you know what? Things aren't so bad. You know, I can buy my dad a Tacoma truck like he wants or something. Like, things are great. And that's what you understand as a human. And I say this to all the doom and gloom guys. Like, if you had a hot wife and kids and a house you built and a career or business, would you be the same guy saying, hey, it's all going to shit, the country's going to shit, and, you know, we should give up? No, you'd want the country to succeed because you succeeded, right? And that's what you got to understand. Your attitude on this is not because you're special. It's because you are a function of your biology, and their attitude is a function of what's going on right now. And instead of being mad, be like, hey, if I was in a better position, I would have more leverage. So I got to get more leverage. And I would then be able to look at the situation, not from a whiny, sacrificing my social media account that I built up for so long, but instead of like, hey, that sucks, that's stupid. All right, how do I make sure I stay hired and not get replaced? And that's it. That's all you got. There's nothing else. That's all you got.
In continuation, every time I will receive a blowjob in the future, I will say I have given up hope in this country. I will tweet that just for you guys.
I'm away from being like, wow, this is a great country. I hope they survive. We make it.
Yeah, I mean, my perspective always has been, and Nuke, check the private chat. But yeah, there's no room for negativity here, and that's always been my perspective. Like I told Jack a little bit about this morning. Like, I've had so many opportunities to throw myself over the sword of pity and tell people about how bad my circumstances were, but it's like, why? To what end? And like, I don't want people to think that I'm ever pessimistic, because I'm not. I know I'm capable of doing the work and doing what I need to do to make whatever I want come to fruition, right? The band's going good. My wife and I are doing great. The job's going good. Like, all these things are lining up for me, and the podcast and everything is doing well. I've made a lot of good friends over the last year, particularly you guys. And, you know, things are going so well for me that, like, why be a doomer now? You know, like, I'm going to continue. Even if this last year was rough, like, there were some things in my life that personally happened over this last year that I'm like, fuck, man, that fucking sucked.
Yeah, I mean, your favorite influencer colluded with Russia. I mean, I can understand, you know, that's a bummer.
Yeah. But, you know, I had to put my 18-year-old mini pin down this last week, which is fucking brutal, man. I mean, she'd been around my family for like 10, 12 years, but we knew it was coming, but it is what it is, unfortunately. But we got her paw print. We're going to make her a nice little shadow box and probably hang something up in my toolbox for her. But, you know, we're going to keep rocking and rolling, man. You don't got any other choice. So either you could continue to let the world fucking run you over and you could bitch, piss, and moan about it, or you get the fuck up and keep doing what you're going to do. And, you know, like, I'm working out 3 days a week at my powerlifting day and then two, you know, full body workouts. I'm going to keep doing that. I'm going to get jacked and tan. I'm going to go to Florida. The band's going to keep playing. Why, you know, life is the greatest gift we're fucking given, so take advantage, you know.
We're gonna win. We're gonna, I'm telling you, we're gonna win. We win. Dante said that yesterday at the end of Rule Zero. He said, you know what I noticed? I'm like, what? He's like,
si conoce a alguien que vive de forma ilegal en Estados Unidos, pronto lo volverá a ver porque volverá a casa. Me llamo Christy Nom, soy la Secretaria de Seguridad Nacional de Estados Unidos. Puede evitar problemas descargándose la app CBP Home y deportándose de forma segura. Recibirá ayuda económica, un vuelo gratis y la posibilidad de volver de forma legal. Si no lo hace, lo encontraremos, multaremos y echaremos a la fuerza. Bajo el fuerte liderazgo del presidente Trump, nuestras leyes se cumplen y nuestra frontera es segura.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Every year, we do a, like, there is a show that does an end of the year thing, and we all say the same thing. The guys who get it all say the same thing. The year was great. We're going to win. And we're going to keep on winning because they know how to win. So they keep doing what they keep doing. And he wasn't wrong on that one. Like, of course, there are going to be setbacks and bumps in the roads and whatever. But it's like I said, you know, at a certain point, you have overcome such bumps in the road where you're like, ah, we've been here before. We can do it again. We've been here before. We can do it again. And of course, the most horrible of horrible things can happen, a death in the family, whatever. But even that, and not to sound crude, but even that, as Rob would say, you don't get over it, but you do go, you get through it. Mm-hmm. And as long as you keep your eyes on that, it's like, yes, it might be dark, but it has never been as darkest as just before the dawn, sort of say. Cringe, but it is true. But it is true.
Yeah. And, you know, it always, The quote that I always come back to is, I remember when Paul Gray died. So he was a bass player for Slipknot. And Corey Taylor was talking to Vinnie Paul, who, you know, obviously was Dimebag Darrell's brother. And I always think about that. You're living for two now, which if you look up the quote, there's a huge paragraph where Corey Taylor basically lays out exactly what Vinnie Paul said. And like, I always think about that. Anytime I lose somebody or something like that happens, it's like, okay, well, you know what? You're laughing, you're living, you're lifting for two now. Right. Like they're not here, but would they want you to be down in the dumps about it? It sucks. You know, you never want to lose people. I lost all my grandparents before I was 18 years old, but like, you know what, man, I'm going to keep going. I ain't got no other choice. Yeah. Pantera Bros in the chat. Exactly.
Hey, yeah, are we going to one up each other now with misery? You lost your grandparents before 18. I lost my actual parents before 14.
But like you said, you know, you're carrying on for them. They wouldn't want you to wallow in misery. Like nobody would want you to do that. Nobody wants you to sit there and suffer because of them. Like, I don't think that's a burden that anybody wishes on anybody else, at least if you have a good relationship with that person. So like, keep fucking rocking and rolling, man. You know, there's nothing more depressing than just seeing somebody that just can't get through it. But like, you know, that's not what we're here to do. You know, I think humans are built for struggle and to overcome that kind of stuff, you know?
No, we do. It's how we survived.
Nothing has changed for you. You still got to go to the gym. And also, I don't think the answer is to be like, you know, stop bitching either. I think the answer is to like, you have stake in this country. Like I was born here, right? But I look outside the window and I see like these beautiful buildings here in Dallas and how clean my neighborhood is and how people come here on the weekends and just throw trash, right? And then, you know, or people that don't clean up after their dogs. And that kind of pisses me off, right? I'm like, hey, you know, the rent here is a little more expensive than other places. Everyone here knows each other. We're all kind of like a small community. There's like a, not the highest level of trust, but you know, like, it's like, and that sucks for people to come outside and just trash your neighborhood because they were drinking, leaving cans everywhere all over the apartments and stuff. So I get it. Right. But at the same time, just know where you have agency and double down on that, because one day, you know, you're going to live your life worrying about what other people do and then realize you had no power to begin with. And you, those years, you don't ever get them back. You know, you just never get them back.
Yeah. Nuke, I think you kind of said something to this degree the first time you and I were on stream together, where it's like, you know, you don't want that revenge fantasy for women. Like, despite what you think, it's not a pretty place. And like, why waste mental capital on wishing misery when you could just keep doing what you're doing, you know?
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. Everyone likes when people think they hate women. No, you just hate shitty people. And shitty people are the ones that get you, like, engaged on social media, right? So if a girl says a guy has to pay in order to even talk to me, then that makes you mad. Because that's, like, a bad human trait in general, like, giving nothing and asking for something. Like we as humans frown upon that, right? But if you look at the women in your own life, your exes, your sister, your mother, they're a part of that revenge fantasy too, because they're women, right? So do you want the women that you like in your life, whether it be a female friend, an ex you're on good terms with, your actual girlfriend now, do you want them to suffer? Like, let's think, like a woman that hits 35 and or 40 and is single and has to face maybe the rest of her life, maybe the next 30, 40 years of her life by herself, you know, do you want that for a human being? Like, think about what that entails. Like, remember how you got sick and then your girlfriend brought you soup? She's not going to have that. She's going to, her friends are going to be traveling somewhere else or ignore her, you know, like things like that. And it's just like, you're not mad at women. You're mad at shitty people that keep getting, you know, thrown in your face and looking and pretending that they got everything they want by being pieces of shit, right? Because you look at the woman in your own life and you're just like, wait, but these women are, you know, obviously they'll have some traits. There's going to be some women that see through that are pieces of shit, right? But deep down, you know, all I ever wanted personally was to be accepted by women. That's all I wanted. I thought I needed to be this, you know, like every woman to be in love with me and be like this legendary player. But as I went through life and I worked with women, and they respected my authority in the Navy. That was one thing that, like, I'm like, wow, this feels really good. I thought women were these subversive, bitchy, angry people, but some of the women were respectful, and they said, yes, Nuke, we'll get this done right away. And I was like, wait a minute. Wow. I thought, you know, and then my exes were all on good terms. And if we're not, they just left my life. They didn't try to destroy me. And then even that girl that doxed me here in Dallas, a year later, I met up with her again. And I was like, I wasn't even expecting an apology. And she apologized. She sat down and apologized. And I apologized back. Hey, I didn't mean to like ghost you like that. I didn't know how it made you feel. I didn't know you liked me that much. And we're cool. After that, we're cool. And that's the thing. I don't want bad things to happen to people. However, at the same time, I just want to be left alone. And I think this visa thing is like, people just want to be left alone. Like my dad first came to this country, the first thing he did was start listening to Johnny Cash, the Beatles. He started playing guitar, learned English. He got hazed a lot in the military, but he said, fuck it, I got to provide for my family. He learned English. He integrated with the culture, and he became an American, right? He served 20 years in the military, and he became an American. And I think the problem with this group of people that I'm not going to mention is that the lack of assimilation, too. Let's not forget that, like, everything from hygiene to how they treat women in general. Like, we've seen the memes of how they treat women, right? And we've all been in a group where there's that one creepy guy that's just always scaring the hoes, right? And it just makes everyone uncomfortable. And I think if we imported like 300,000 German people, would we be as annoyed? Or 300,000 Dutch people would be like, yeah, they have hot chicks and they're pretty cool. Like, bring Hans over. Hans is they're funny. I like beer. Hey, they like beer too. But when you have a culture that's so incompatible with ours, and that's not their fault, right? They're across the world. It's just weird to us, right? And if you look at, like, yeah. Mexico, yes, Mexicans, no one really wants them that bad in this country, but they wear cowboy hats and they go to the same churches that white people do. They're Christian, right? And Catholic. They don't take themselves seriously. Like, you make fun of a Mexican and he'll agree with you. He'll be like, yeah, we are pretty like this or pretty like that. We're good at sports, right? So there's a respect for our physicality as boxers, as soccer players, and other sports, right? So it's really, as a human being, it's not like so much that you're obsessed with making this country completely white. It's just that you want people that are easy to be tribal with, that understand you and you understand them to an extent.
Yeah, I think like just a lot of people want their quality of life to improve because, you know, we're not in the 50s, 60s, 70s, or even 90s anymore where it's like, okay, well, I have money to save. Things are going good enough that I'm like not worried about stuff. I think a lot of people are on edge where, like, you know, if you're a family with a couple kids and you're making like six figures a year between you and your wife, you're not really doing that good when, you know, back 20 years ago, it was like, oh, no. If you made six figures a year and you had a couple kids, you were like, fine. You had money to save. You could afford a new car and stuff like that. But I mean, that's just not the reality for a lot of people anymore. So like, when the public resources are already strained and your paycheck doesn't go as far as it used to, but you're making more money and you feel like you should be making progress as you get older, but things continue to get worse, I think people generally get pissed off and they don't want to see that, you know, other people are coming here and having an easier time, or just that, like, you know, you're not seeing friendly faces anymore. And I think that's what people are kind of feeling, is that like a loss of community, a loss of not even just homogeneity, but like, you know, I don't know these people anymore. Like, this isn't the way that I grew up. I think people don't like, you know, the shift in, I don't want to say the shift in the vibe, but like the demographic shift in like how they go outside and like, it's not their neighbors anymore. You know, you see houses empty, the neighborhoods.
Yeah. Ryan talks about it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
He mentions it and it's just like, I get it. Like that for me is the biggest issue here. Right. Because if think about it, if they said, hey, German engineering, we need to get our car industry suffering, let's get 300,000 German engineers here in America. And we'll be like, yeah, they're blonde and blue eyed and the women are hot and they like beer and, you know, cool. Let's get them right over. Right. Same thing. If it was Dutch people, we're like, yeah, bicycles and tulips, whatever you guys do. You know,
the biggest difference I noticed between American and Dutch culture is the going out for food. Like at least like the Dutch, maybe it's a European thing as a whole. We do everything inside, like coffee, things like that. We've got coffee makers right here. And like food, same thing. We prepare everything ourselves. We just go grocery shopping once a week, get everything for the whole week. And going out for us is like this big thing. Like you only go out to eat like once a month or whatever. But like with the Americans, in my experience, it's like, no, you go out for lunch, you go out for breakfast, you go out for dinner, and you do it every day. It's like, wow. That's a thing where that is for me was the biggest culture difference.
Yeah, I mean, that is like a big thing. And I mean, I think it adds in my work. People go out to eat every single day for lunch, like every day. And for me, I'm like, holy shit. Like you're spending anywhere from $10 to $20 a day on your lunch. So you're looking $100 a week. You know, you add it up. Every month isn't exactly 4 weeks, but you know, you're talking like 4.5 weeks per month. So, you know, you're maybe looking $450 a month and just going out to eat. Like, that is absolutely fucking insane. Like I usually go out to eat maybe 4 or 5 times a month, I want to say. But I mean, like even at that, you know, it used to be you could go out to a nice sit-down restaurant, you know, 7 years ago, and you and somebody else pay $40-$50. You both got a huge meal, drinks, and you were happy. Now, if you want to do that, $100 every single time. Like if you're going to Red Robin, you're spending $60-$70 for you and one other person. And that's without appetizers and like one drink. Like it is nuts anymore.
How's the prices at Bucky's?
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, Bucky's. Dude, that's what I did.
Need to take me to a Bucky's.
Oh. I went to Bucky's the other day, dude. That man, Bucky's is something else, man.
I love it.
Go use a Bucky's bathroom and you're gonna be like, you know, America ain't so bad, you know. It really gives you hope. It's the most American store or like gas station store I've ever been. It's like all American flag. It's great.
I loved when it was in July, and I think it was actually right around my wife's birthday because we were planning on going to Florida to hang out. And it was the same weekend that all the flights got grounded across the world or something like that. It was July like 23rd or something like that. So we were driving down and it took us like 16 hours to get down to Florida. So we were on our way there and we stopped by Bucky's and I remember we spent like almost $200 at Bucky's, but we had so much stuff. And then when we were walking out, we were reading the sign. It had like all these salaries on the board, like how much everybody made. I'm like, holy shit. Like you could be somebody that just like talks to people and washes cars and you're making like 80 grand a year, like $80,000 to $100,000 a year. Like that is a hell of a living to just wash cars and bullshit. Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like, I will sell my entire toolbox. We'll move to Florida. My wife can chop up some brisket and I'll, you know, shake people's hands, wash their cars, bullshit with them about, you know,
stuff. I do that at the gym. I shake people's hands, talk to them, and I wash the machines every now and then. It's like, yeah. Oh, for 80 grand a year? Fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, yeah, dude, I could do that like tomorrow. So,
I mean, every now and then you have to deal with assholes. Like, guys, we thought that on the internet you had 68-year-old people yelling in their Toyota Tacoma. But even in real life, man, I'm meeting old timers at the gym and they are, what the hell? Yeah. It's like high school never ends. It's not just online. It's in real life as well. Luckily, they're few and far between, but they do exist. It's like, oh no. Oh no. George Bruno has come to life. Shit.
Marty, no, I do not owe my soul to Snap-on. Actually, I think I owe them like $200, which for anybody that doesn't know, if you're a mechanic, you do pay ass loads of money to Snap-on. I mean, I couldn't even tell you how much money in my 13-year career of being a mechanic, how much I've spent on Snap-on. It has to be over $10,000 to be completely honest with you. Snap-on is a tool brand. Like they're the optimal tool brand. Oh. If I would have got, like I know I shared pictures of my toolbox all over Twitter and I'm still in love with it. If I would have got that same setup from Snap-on, I'm not even kidding, that toolbox probably would have been about $20,000. We're talking, I have an 119-inch long toolbox that's probably about 6 feet tall. If I were to get that same setup from Snap-on, I'd be paying for literally years and years and years and years to come.
Nice.
But no, I got Harbor Freight. I'm cheap like that, but I have a Harbor Freight toolbox full of Snap-on tools. Okay. So
yeah, I need to go to Harbor Freight and do it quick. Cause you know, sometimes you don't know what tools you need until like you go there. You're just like, yeah, I need to fix this in my house and this would be perfect. I don't think that's a good strategy, but hey, you just start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I love it though. Like messing with tools and everything. I love it. Every time, like the squat rack, I put that together myself. And that was just, I don't know, Matt, just felt great. Just felt awesome. Seeing the completion of that squat rack, it's like, yeah, I did that. Like twisting the tools and everything, screwing the bolts. I even do that in the gym with the maintenance, with the machines. Normally, we'd have to like file a report so that the mechanics could drop by in the gym and fix the equipment. I never do that. I always fix it myself first, or at least try to fix it. And then if it doesn't work, then I make the report. So far, I have saved my manager 4 trips of mechanics.
Yeah, I think the people who own my gym, they typically kind of do all that stuff too. And like fixing gym equipment, God, that would be like a dream for me. I'd love to be like a traveling mechanic. To just fix gym stuff because it's like so simple. When it comes to like fixing cars, it is complicated as a motherfucker and it does not always pay as much as you would hope it would pay. But like, I'll tell you what, when you find something fucking broke and you fix it and you fix it right, there's nothing like finding broken wire and fixing it and then seeing a light that didn't work now work.
We like, are so simple. It's good to be a guy.
Yeah, it's if my dad's listening, it is one of his quotes that I always say and like think about is like, if we can't eat it or fuck it, we want to tear it apart. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much.
That's a good quote.
yeah, the old man's no dummy.
That's a good one. I might steal that.
Yeah. No, it is, and I think about that all the time. Like, man, when you figure out how something works or you see how something works, like I remember when I was in a college and we were taking apart airboxes. So like in your vehicle, you have a whole airbox in your dash that kind of directs where air is flowing, you know, your, for your like defrosters, your vents towards your feet, the vents towards your face, all this stuff, just watching it move. It's like, wow, that's so neat. Like all these little actuators turn and then something comes in and just, It's really, really cool.
Man, oh, look at that. We want to build and destroy.
Yeah.
That's what we do best. Hawk always said it best. Like, Hawk, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm going to butcher this quote, but what was it? That we have an innate fascination with war. Mm-hmm. That's where like the army building and things like that come from.
Yeah. Age of Empires. Like how chill do you feel playing Age of Empires? It's like therapy to me to move units on a board. Just like, yes.
Wow. Why do you think I do the Lego thing?
Yeah,
the wife got a advent calendar with all the Star Wars stuff and it was pretty cool to like every single day you pull out something and you build a little like a starship or something like that. So hold up, Dark Knight Dove for the 569. Kyle just bought a Nissan Sentra 2011 for $3,000. I'm sorry to hear that. What's a good third row SUV or minivan that's reliable to get to 200k miles?
Cybertruck, fuck it.
Yeah, beware, this is gonna be really, really loud. Where is it?
Falcon Punch!
There you go. Yeah, that video never gets old. But personally, I would say like the 2007 to like 2013 or 14 body style Yukons were pretty good. The ones after that, like the 2014 till about 2021, they as good. You'd have to put like lifters and stuff in them. I'm a big fan of GM, Honda, and Toyota. Those are kind of like my three go-tos. Most of the other like Nissans have big problems with transmissions. I think Dodge and Chrysler are safety hazards, so avoid those at all costs. Mazda's tolerable. Kias, they've had a ton of engine problems, but I think other than that, they're not too bad. Not a fan of Subarus because of the powertrain. And pretty much if I were to recommend something, I would just say like GM, Honda, or Toyota. Those would be like my main three to go for. But something with third row, a newer body style Acadia. So I think they came out with the new body style Acadias in 2017. Those are pretty good. The particularly like the ones from 2020, I want to say like 2020, 2021, up until now, generally the radiators went bad, but those were always under warranty. Tow links, which are pretty cheap. The Yukons and stuff that are brand new, they're obviously very expensive, but like just any like 2015 GM with a 8-cylinder engine, you're going to see potential lifter issues, injector issues, which sometimes are under warranty, sometimes they're not. I just, the older ones, in my opinion, were a little bit better, but you know, it just depends on your budget. But if you're looking for like a smaller SUV, the Terrains, unfortunately, those are two rows. But like Acadias, Enclave, Traverse are good. Yukons, Honda Pilots are good. RAV4s, I don't know if those have three rows. I can't remember what the hell the big Toyotas are. The 4Runner, and there's one other one I'm forgetting. But like those would be good ones. Those would be the ones that I would pick out. My wife drives a Terrain, a 6-cylinder Terrain to be specific. Love it, but once again, it's not three row. Minivan, I don't know about minivans anymore. Like, I don't think anybody makes minivans, which is kind of upsetting because everything's a crossover now. So like you don't really get the height in a lot of stuff anymore. So that's kind of my opinion on that.
Cool.
Yeah. But I don't know, dude. For me, just seeing electrical stuff work in cars, it just like fires off all these gears in my brain. So I never talk about automotive stuff because I think probably most people don't care. And like, as soon as I'm out of work, I'm like, I don't want to think about fucking cars.
You don't want to bring it home. Yeah. You don't want to bring it home. Yeah.
I mean, I still think you could make an awesome Substack on car mechanics.
Like if I described all like the issues and stuff on cars, I feel like people might tune out, but I mean,
there's a niche for everything. There are carpenters on YouTube having millions of views, and all they do is saw wood and measure it and taper it and whatever they do with it. And it's very therapeutic for people to watch.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that I've put up a few videos on YouTube of like me setting airbags and shit off, and like it does insanely well. Like I think some of my shorts on YouTube have like 10,000 views or something like that. Where is it? A customer states check engine light. Right. So this was like one of a turbo that went bad. So you have an impeller wheel in a turbo. Let me see. So right here. Like that wheel's supposed to be tight in there. Mm-hmm. And then also you see like a little crack. That crack's not supposed to be there. So like that's supposed to be one whole sealed unit essentially. And it's supposed to, how do I want to say this?
There's a verse of a song called Suffocating Sight.
No, I'll get a strike if I play that.
No.
And then.
Damn, is that Matt Heavey?
Yes. Yes, that is.
Dude, Matt Heavey. He got old.
Yeah. I mean, they've been playing for like 20 years. Okay. So that's all lifting stuff. Where's my most viewed one? Was actually like a Tool review, and I still get views on that all the time. 14-4. This is like, this gun is timed.
This is the new Snap-on 14-4 brushless 3/8 gun. I'm working on a 2022 GMC Denali Yukon, and I figured I would share this with everybody because I think it's pretty fucking impressive. Right, 3/8 gun. You see, this thing isn't that big.
Boom.
Easy money.
So yeah, like what's cool about that is that gun is probably no more than a few pounds, but it'll take off lug nuts off a freaking truck. And you have to imagine, I mean, most trucks are torqued to like 150 foot-pounds, which if you have a giant breaker bar is not a lot, but if you're dealing with a ratchet that's like that big, you wouldn't be able to get that off very easily at all. So, yeah. I don't know, Jack, maybe you're right.
why not do it? On stuff. I think you'd be great at it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe instead of teaching kids when I would have had a pension, then maybe I would have, maybe I could get that pension from Substack.
Now you could. I mean, if an English second language can get to almost 1,000 followers within 9 months, I am sure you can do it.
Yeah, maybe.
Nuke sitting there like, God damn fucking Dutchman.
Yeah, who do they think they are? I mean, H-1B visa to get to 1,000.
Yes, yeah. True.
You got to make a trip to the States and then document everything, maybe even storm the Bastille to...
I'm not going to lie, my first trip to the States, I still need to figure out what I'm going to do this coming year. I might show up in 2025. I'll keep you guys posted. But the first time when I was with Rob and Vince, it is such a... I found it a very warm place. Not temperature-wise, but like mood-wise. Mm-hmm. Know what I'm saying?
That's why I feel when I go to Florida.
Yeah, no,
like, but like... Mood, what do you mean? Like everyone's in a good mood or something?
No, it was just... It was... I felt welcome or something. Well,
yeah, that's the problem. That therein lies the problem.
We don't want you here.
Yeah.
Therein lies, you said it. Like, I feel welcome. And I'll tell you, here in America, we have gay neighborhoods, like gayborhoods. We have, if you so go
that's
to
where you like, live.
I actually live next door. It's more convenient. But we have neighborhoods like in Carrollton, it's like all Korean. So there's going to be Korean restaurants and, you know, businesses with only Korean letters. You go to Plano, there's Indian restaurants and Indian places where it's only Indian letters. So, I mean, we really roll out the red carpet for everyone here. Right. There's every like we think. That America is mean to immigrants. We're so kind. Like, we build communities. If you are gay, there's literally neighborhoods where you can live and do whatever you want. You're a protected class. And even the crosswalks have rainbows and all that. And it's like, we can't really complain. Like, if you're an immigrant and you come to this country, you cannot complain at all. Like, you, most welcoming and accepting culture of all time. People are fighting for you that you don't even know. And it's crazy that they just can't see, like, that guys are just like, hey, enough is enough. We can't be so welcoming anymore. We have to fix what we have here, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think, what do you guys think about predictions for the coming year? I know you guys laid out a little bit of this on Rule Zero, but Jack, why don't you go ahead and give your predictions for what do you think all is coming in 2025?
Okay, we're going to see even more declining usage of dating apps. That was my number one. Like, we're going to see more and more people turn away from dating apps. That is, for me, is the number one.
Interesting.
What else? I think the rest is going to be... I think there's going to be a return to form, if that makes sense. Mm. I think there's going to be a return to form of more focus on the material, more focus on the swapping notes, the tools, the applicable strategies, the actionable advice. And there's going to be in our little space, there's going to be, we're going to turn away from the drama.
Let's hope.
And yeah. Other than that, I mean, let's hope for 200,000 Bitcoin, because 100,000 wasn't enough.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I kind of hope for that as well. And I hope, you know, that, like you said, the drama just goes away. I think it plays good in an election year. But like, now that everything's kind of done, you know, I think the things are going to move.
No, the people who are now on politics will stay on politics. Fresh and fit, whatever. Tim Pool. But like, the guys who went from red pill to politics, they will stay on politics because Trump is now in office. And that's 4 years of free content. Mm-hmm. It will not be until 2028 that they will come back to the red pill.
Mm. So. Yeah, I don't know that I share that perspective, but I don't know what to think. I think, you know, there's going to be a lot less fighting, I think, this time around. So maybe you're right, but I don't know. We'll see. You know, Trump always has something interesting to say. And I do think you're probably going to see a stop to like the usage of dating apps, though, because like I think the heyday kind of came. I think Hawk was the one that said it was, like, the prime was back in like 2016. I think he was right. That's definitely when I found the most utility in it. But now I think they're overly saturated, and like now you're probably dealing with a lot of bots. And then like it's more like guys can't really get their pick anymore because women's access to that. Now they think like, oh, you know, all these guys on dating apps are just beneath me. So I think you might see a return of nightlife, if you will, or, you know, just people are going to continue to isolate themselves in some respect. So Nuke, what do you think?
First of all, I think 2025 is going to be incredibly boring. It's going to be the most boring year of our lives. I mean, what else can happen that'll surprise us? You know, some only
fans say that.
Yeah, like a Somali fan chicks bangs a lot of dudes and it goes viral. We're going to be like, yeah, cool. Thanks. We've already been there, done that. They're going to threaten World War III again. World War III? Oh, yeah. That's been happening for 10 years. They've been saying it's going to be any day now. Cool. Hey, we've sent money to another country. Cool. Israel, Gaza. Cool. Like, it's just everything has already been done, I think. And there's really not much that will change your life in a significant way. I don't want to sound like that old boomer guy that, you know, I don't want to sound like Rob, but Rob's right. It's going to be boring, and assume you want it to be boring, because when it's boring, you can work in peace. You can work hard in peace. You get to build your online content in peace. You get to fuck your wife or girlfriend in peace. Like, peace is good. You know, the purpose of peacetime is to be peaceful, not to search for conflict and be afraid that conflict is knocking on your door. When it's wartime, then, you know, then it's wartime. I also think in terms of dating, dating apps have been in decline over the past 3 years. The stock price has sharply dropped. I don't know how they stay in business. That's something that I'm going to look into. Match.com is just up the street here, and, you know, they haven't moved. Their building is not as big as you would think. It's like half of a 30-story building or 25-story building.
So
that's
15.
Match.com. Yeah, like they have the top half of the building, the bottom half is some banking company. And the CEO of Match.com, she's one of the highest paid CEOs in Dallas. So, I mean, there's money there, but I just don't understand how they make their money now that, how, like, guys will still subscribe.
The reason why a lot of these companies that like shouldn't be afloat, the reason why they're able to stay afloat is because it's kind of getting economics, but like interest rates are so low, so people could get money for cheap, right? Where like it's same as cash, like a credit card, the interest rate's like 30%, right? So you get charged a shitload of money if you have a whole lot of exposure to that credit. If you are a company like that and you're running from a bank, then, you know, your interest rate may be as low as like back a couple years ago is only 4 or 5%. So you could get money for almost same as cash, or like back during pretty much from the end of Bush's term up until Trump to like 2020, interest rates were like 0%. So literally you were getting money from the bank same as cash. And people could continue to kind of just keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing because they didn't have to pay excessive interest. Well, if interest rates keep going up, eventually people are going to realize, oh, I can't make this payment anymore, because, you know, it's kind of like the housing market back in the day where, you know, you had a teaser rate. And then when you got the official rate, people just mailed in their keys because they couldn't afford the payment anymore. I think if Powell continues to raise rates and stuff like that, you might see a lot of companies going tits up because they're saying, we can't afford it anymore. We, you know, borrowed too much money and now we have to default because we can't afford to pay this back anymore because interest rates are going up. We can't afford this cash anymore unless they have like fixed rates. Like a lot of mortgages are fixed rate. So like, you know, mine's fixed at 3.875%. If my rate went sky high, like 20%, then I'd be like, okay, well, fuck, I can't pay this anymore. But, you know, if you have a fixed rate at a lower rate, then yeah, the bank may be losing money, but at the same time, it's like, you know, a good deal for the people who are loaning. So it just depends on the kind of loan that like a lot of these companies have. But I'm willing to bet like Bumble, Match.com and all these companies, they levered up super, super hard. And then as soon as interest rates start to go up and they've become less and less profitable. They have worse and worse quarters. They can't borrow any more money. Then eventually they're going to say, all right, mailing in the keys, and they're declaring bankruptcy, and then, you know, on to the next thing. So I think that's how a lot of these companies are staying afloat.
Yeah. That makes sense. You know, they're just they're probably just staying afloat at this point. But yeah, I was always kind of like interested in like how these companies still, is it like a pond? Is it like a churn marketing, like a gambling scheme where they make you feel, I've heard that, like I know a couple of the ins and outs of the apps, and I've heard there was people that designated the people to send you messages to make you feel like you're still in the game, like you still have hope. And then there's people that there's, you know, they'll push you up in the algorithm for a day or two or a week and then push you back down. There's a lot of manipulation going on. And they have been the subject of a lot of lawsuits because, you know, it's like, is this ethical to like play with people's psychology to make them feel like, you know, the subscription they're paying is worth it by faking, you know, making fake profiles or, you know, pushing them up an algorithm momentarily.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would just say psychologically speaking, dating apps is not good for you if you're not 100% know. Like for me, it's just a fishing rod, right? You just leave it. If it tugs, you check. If it doesn't tug, you don't check. You know, just, you know, try to build a very robust social life. And really, building a social life will put you in the top percent of men, because how many men are like online all day, 24/7? You know, like just be social. That's all you got. You know, yes. Dating apps, don't leave your reproductive problem in the hands of a corrupt company like Match.com. You know?
Right. And Susanna brought up a good point. Yeah, I would assume they're selling data sets as well. Data aggregation is big money. Yeah, I mean, yeah, how do you... Yeah, you're selling ads. Like I said, money, same as cash because of low interest rates, memberships. I mean, there's probably a whole bunch of fuckery going on for them to just kind of maintain, you know, maintain status there. But, you know, if you listen to someone like Peter Schiff, who's kind of like the perma bear, if you will, you're going to get the idea that like the world's always ending and the crash is right around the corner. Nobody really knows until it kind of happens. But, you know, we kind of go through this like every 10 years almost. And I think the time is getting shorter and shorter where, you know, we lower interest rates and then, you know, the bubble gets bigger and bigger and bigger and then it pops. And then they keep doing this over and over again. There's going to come a day where
it's the eventually, same. Go in.
Yeah. Eventually someone's going to want, you know, paid because, you know, we have all this debt. Who knows what's going to happen? Nobody knows when like the big crash is going to happen, but a crash is coming eventually. But you know,
It's the same thing as Robert Kiyosaki. He screams bloody murder every fucking day. Yeah. And then when the crash happened, he's like, see, I was right. It's like, yeah, whatever. I can do that.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Like, I can predict every day that the market is going to go up. And then when it does, I can say, well, you see, I was right.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
If you throw shit at the wall, something will stick.
No.
I think part of this whole like H-1B visa thing is just like men are not motivated anymore as much. We keep dodging the issue of what's going to motivate people to do things, like men to do things. And as long as you keep hiding the fact that COVID happened, and a lot of people lost their livelihood and opportunities. As long as you ignore the fact that part of what made men work hard was family, the prospect of having a family, having a house, all that stuff. Until we address that, you can't really complain that men aren't trying, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, we preach, hey, like, you got to do something, dude. You can't, you know, just, but on a society-wide scale, it's crazy that the smartest people on earth can't figure out why men in this country aren't trying. It's just like, dude, it's right there in front of you. It's right there. Imagine you turn 18. When I was 18, I'm like, by 24, I'll be able to afford a house and I'll have a hot wife. That's what I was programmed with. And now in Dallas, you need like $140,000 to have an entry level home. That's what you need to bring in. So it's like, okay. And you know, Jack told me the prices in Netherlands are in super high as well. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
The average housing prices is $500,000. And where I live, it's around 250 to 300K. And I live in a city that has 30,000 people living in it.
Yeah, look at that. Holy shit. But I'll say this for all the people that are like scratching their heads as to why men aren't achieving. Is our sacrifice rewarded anymore?
No.
If I can work a chill $70,000 job, knowing that I'm never going to have a wife and kids, like I'm already convinced. Like, yeah, that's not true, but you know, you get convinced of things and you're chill. You can buy your video games. You can buy your alcohol. You're just cruising along. Are you going to work harder? In your mind, there's no way. There's like nothing's ever going to happen. I'm never going to afford a house or have a girlfriend or wife. So that's all you need. Like, male sacrifice isn't rewarded. It is not. It's just not anymore. And here we are. You know, we have to bring in people that are willing to sacrifice and work 80-hour weeks because we're not willing to do that. And I'm glad we can bitch and complain at our politicians, but this isn't a political issue. This is not. This is a biological issue. You remove the incentive from a creature to strive and do better. And you got everyone's like, why aren't they doing better? It's because we don't believe that we're going to have a future in marriage and children and have a house or anything like that.
It's your brain on birth control. Every guy should read that book, Your Brain on Birth Control, even if it's just for shits and giggles, because like the author is peak cognitive dissonance. But there's a little paragraph in there. If Kyle would let me look that up real quick, because I have it here. I saved it for a reason. Come on, where are you?
Yeah,
got it.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Okay, I'll share the screen real quick.
Yeah, you're good.
There we go. Here. Nothing motivates and inspires boys to work hard to develop into respectable, financially independent men more than an unfailing commitment to the belief that to do anything otherwise would doom them to a life of involuntary celibacy. When men are able to gain access to women without having had to accomplish or commit to anything first, oftentimes, this is the path they will follow. Because sex no longer comes with the risk of pregnancy, qualities like ambition, industriousness, and fidelity, which matter hugely in the context of potential parenthood, don't always enter into the equation when women are choosing sex partners. As Roy Baumeister and Kathleen Vose wrote in a paper on sexual economics, we have found no evidence to contradict the basic principle that men will do whatever is required in order to obtain sex and perhaps not a great deal more. So it comes down to, since women have given up, or since women give out sex for free, guys don't care anymore. You can get laid with being funny and a drug dealer. Why not be funny and a drug dealer?
Or just being the right guy at the right time. Just
exactly.
Yeah. But that's, when like having kids in the U.S. now is more of like it's not seen as like something that you just do anymore. It's seen as like a financial burden, which is a problem, right? Like people don't feel like they can have a kid comfortably. And I threw a status on Facebook where I said like the correct amount of legal and illegal immigration right now is zero until like the average American feels like they can comfortably afford a family, because like Nuke said, you know, men's sacrifice aren't like honored anymore. So, you know, why the hell are you going to go have a family if like nobody gives a shit?
Yeah. So. I mean, it's all this like male sacrifice isn't rewarded. So we got to bring in people whose sacrifice is rewarded. Because in the end, guys are just like, if I sacrifice, I get a much better life. Like, I get to go leave my shithole and live in this nice place, and I'll be able to provide for my wife and kids. What do I have to provide for? I mean, I like working hard for the sake. You know, guys like me are rare, and there's harder working guys than me that work for nothing, right? And that's like a different type of person. But the average guy is just going to be like, I'm not going to do, like the article said, I'm not going to do anything more than I have to. The bar is pretty damn low. If all I have to do is this much to stay alive, then I will. And if I get sex, I'll marry a fat, ugly chick, and that's all I need to do. Right? Very few guys are the ones that are just like not satisfied and willing to go above and beyond, you know? And this is what it comes down to. If every man, it's a country where sacrifice is rewarded versus a country where sacrifice is not rewarded. How do we fix this? I don't fucking know. I don't know how to fix this.
Nope. Well, I think we could call it there. Jack, go ahead and give your plugs and stuff where everybody could find you, support you, all that good shit.
New Substack in the chat. The last one of this year, looking back on goodbye to 2024. It's my top 10 posts of this year. And I'm already getting comments on like, hey, why isn't that post in there? Empathy will kill your relationship. And now looking back on it, it's like, yeah, that could have been in there. That essay of mine, Empathy Will Kill Your Relationship, that did very well.
Nice.
But that didn't make the list because I like the other ones as well.
Oh,
hey, it's Jake.
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah, well, unfortunately, we're just wrapping up. But Nuke, go ahead, plug all your stuff as well.
Follow the Substack. I'll put it in the chat. And follow me on Twitter, YouTube, streaming tonight. We're going to talk about why, like, similar to this show, why guys, people in general, keep getting rug pulled by politics, women, everything, Haktua, whatever you want, financially, anyway. We're going to talk about that tonight.
Nice. All right. As far as I'm concerned, I forget the guy's name, and I shouldn't, but he's a some scholar for Asian affairs. He's coming on Wednesday. No. Wednesday or Tuesday? Wednesday, I think. And we're going to talk all about the history of China, U.S. and Taiwan. I'm actually really, really excited for that. I think it's going to be a cool show. As I said at the top of the show, I do have a new link for Tiger Fitness. So if you go to tigerfitness.com/KyleM, you'll get a little discount. Use code Kyle at checkout. I think you get 10% off of all supplements. And also let them know that I sent you. And I think that's it for me for this year in the channel. We're going to be moving into 2025 and, things are only going to be looking up for me. So all that good stuff. If you guys think of anything else, we'll, call her there.
Call her there.
All right. Well, rock and roll, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out. And until next time, take care.
Cheers.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.